Our Capital Call program this morning being brought to you, as always, by Phillips 66. Opportunity to spend a little bit of time with our legislative team. And good morning, Chairman Sears.
Good morning, Charlie. And I want to apologize to all our listeners in District 11. I've missed a couple of radio shows due to some family issues, and then I had to be.
Well, and you were actually working last Friday.
Well, I was. I wasn't even in my own district. I had to stay down in the Norman area. But anyway, the good delegation that we have carried the day, and I'm glad they gave a good update. But very quickly, there's not very many days left in our session, and we are working extremely hard. Every day, just working on the budget, working on good legislation, good policy. Both chambers are on the floor most of the day addressing their bills, meeting our deadline week in regards to the legislation. Just three quick things. Number one, you just constantly get emails or you hear people say, are you reading an editorial? When are they going to do something? Nothing's going on. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, just yesterday, majority of my time on Thursday was in budget meetings. I mean, we're working extremely hard. We are developing a plan. We are developing a budget. I got to be honest with you, I think in the very near future, we'll be rolling a budget out for all members. They'll know well in advance, but to start voting on some of this legislation. Quite frankly, we even started first this week. There was about four JCAB bills in the House and the Senate that we passed that will address the budget.
And can you define JCAT for me, please?
It's a joint House-Senate committee that basically all of budget or revenue bills go through.
We talked about it a year or two ago, but I wanted to make
Correct.
Sure the
listeners. It's something we developed several years ago, and there's a history there, and I really don't want to.
No.
It's really one of the greatest things we ever did. Quite frankly, I'll stop. It's just one of the best things we ever did. But that's what it is. It's a revenue committee. And from there, again, a lot of good work going on the budget. Big deal at my end, in my world, in our caucus, the Senate took care of this several days ago. We took the income tax trigger off that would go into effect. We think it's the right time to pull that in until our economy stabilizes. And again, we do our reform in tax credits, our reform in apportionments off the top. Energy sector's getting stronger, and job market's growing, which is very good, and our economy approves. And we'll return to that particular policy. But right now, that was a big deal and lengthy debate. But I was the author of that bill, Senator Thompson in the Senate. The Senate passed it, three or four weeks ago. And again, I want to do a shout-out for Bartlesville Day. Were there, not this week, but last week. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to comment about that. And it was just a great visit, a great day having them visit Leadership Bartlesville. It's always a fun time when you have constituents up and they see exactly what's going on in their state government. So anyway, but we're alive and well, and again, I'll close with this. Your state government is alive and well and moving forward.
Okay. I know when Mr. McCauley was in Wednesday, he mentioned he was part of the Leadership Bartlesville class that was down there for Bartlesville Day, and I know the Lieutenant Governor, when I was talking to him that particular morning, he was looking forward to talking with the folks that visited. Good morning, Mr. Dunlap.
Good morning, Charlie. Is your voice okay? Sounds like a little bit of allergies.
I've had a little bit of a whole lot of nasal congestion, drainage, and therefore the irritation of the vocal cords. But I am surviving.
I appreciate you being here and hosting us. I enjoy being with you. I just have a couple things to add to what Representative Sears has already said. This week has been primarily focused on the budget, and we've been doing a lot. In fact, one of the most open meetings that we've ever had in the history of the House of Representatives has occurred this week, where the entire caucus was kept to discuss different proposals regarding the budget, and some good consensus and healthy conversation was had early this week, and it ended up keeping us at the Capitol pretty late, but that's just what needs to happen. But a lot of work is going into that. One of the tax credits that we dealt with this week is of particular interest to the Bartlesville area, just because it has brought some very high-profile interest to the area, which is the movie tax credit that we give to encourage investment from the entertainment industry into Oklahoma. We have a tax credit that goes to those who are making movies here. We are still in that process. We did not eliminate the tax credit. What we did is we lowered the cap. in order to just be, you know, fair across the board, even though that when we evaluate the effectiveness of that tax credit, it remains effective. But to help out with the budget, we lowered that cap. And that was a good thing to do on our half. So we worked on that in the House. One of the proposals are going back and forth, and we're dealing with, as Representative Sears said, the triggers that are happening in place. One of the things that I got to work on a little bit again this year was being the liaison from the House to the Oklahoma Governor's International Team. And this week, we had to scale back the operation, but we had the International Student Awareness Day this week. Mm-hmm. We had to scale back the big events because of some change within the Governor's International Team. But it was really neat this week at the Capitol to bring awareness to this wonderful group of people who I always say probably appreciate being in Oklahoma more than they would a big city. Of course, we're very hospitable people here in Oklahoma, but there's an element in which big cities in America are the same as big cities anywhere in the world. And so you can find your little enclave of people and not really get out and be part of the culture at large. So I always appreciate when international students choose to come to Oklahoma, because they're really allowed to experience our hospitality, I think, and they surely appreciated that. So it was neat to see them at the Capitol this week.
And they were from where?
Oh, from all over. I met a couple people from Thailand, Vietnam, several South American countries, South Africa, Nigeria. We always have people here from Nigeria. There's a strong relationship there. Usually have people, in at least at the university level, usually have people from Saudi Arabia. So here studying, of course, petroleum engineering, and so all over. Okay. It was a pleasure to be with them.
Thank you very much. Senator Daniels, good morning. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks, Charlie. And another group of young people at the Capitol this week were the representatives of Oklahoma students benefiting from the Oklahoma Promise Scholarship Program, mm-hmm. that pays for eligible Oklahomans to go to college, university. And there were a lot of them in the Capitol coming by and talking to us this week, thanking us for what is fairly forward-thinking program for our state to assist as many young people as possible to get their college education. And of course, that is something out of our budget. That is something we decided to invest in. So that's an education expenditure that they may not have in other states that we do here. Couple of other budget items. The governor did sign the sunset on the zero emission tax credit. Mm-hmm. And the three of us, of course, fought long and hard, and I think would continue to welcome a cap on that very, very, very expensive program that has served its purpose. And I think there could still be a push in the next few weeks, as we are asked to look at all sorts of tax increases, to look again at this program where we literally pay money out each year. And as a fiscal conservative, to pay money out and then ask Oklahomans to pay more really doesn't sit well with me. So I don't know what hope there is for that. I know there's now an ad campaign. I've heard it on your radio and radio station in Oklahoma City. So I would, I think there are people in the Senate who would like to push for that. Leadership perhaps not on board as yet. We did pass, or maybe we didn't. We had one bill struggle in the Senate to increase compliance with state sales tax laws. And this is one of these things where you can massage it, and you get it to the floor, and somebody debates it and points out something that maybe they could have pointed out before, and either they didn't see it or they chose to wait, mm-hmm. until it got to the floor. So there was a little heartburn on Thursday over that, but I think they'll get it sorted out. On a personal note, you know, there are 13 freshmen. And it was said to us this week by a small group of us, by one of the veterans, that they really were pleasantly surprised at how we came in and just dove right into everything. And they were thinking, there's 13 people who are going to be slow to start, and, you know, we're going to have to carry the weight of all this because they're not going to know anything. Well, we're everywhere asking questions. And we meet, and this Monday we're going to meet for an hour and a half instead of 30 minutes, and each of us has an assignment. And we're exploring things and asking questions and just trying to teach each other because, you know, Representative Sears helps me a lot, but he doesn't have time to help everybody.
Right.
So I try to learn from him and bring to the table. And we're we're trying to be a really good and thoughtful part of this budget process. I was counting up last night, because we have an education forum this evening, and I was counting up last night 22 to 24 education bills that we've addressed in the Senate. Not all of them have passed. But,
And I think the Bartlesville School Board gets an update on every one of them during a recent meeting.
Right, so, yeah. But I went through and categorized them last night just to give myself a good picture of what we've done. And of course, this week we did pass the revisions to the assessment program in tandem with the Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA. And, you know, there's some back and forth on that. Nothing's ever perfect, but it looks like over the next 2 to 3 years when they get the cut scores, we'll have something in place that we can all understand. And if it stays long enough, we'll be able to compare 1 year to the next and individual student progress, which would be a lovely thing to be able to do. We also passed a bill saying that if you are going to have a four-day school week, you need to submit a report to the State Department of Education saying, here are the savings we anticipate making, here's the recruiting tool we use it for, some sort of plan, and then report afterwards, after you've put it in place, has it done what you said it was going to do? So we did not outlaw or ban four-day weeks, simply want school districts to make sure that these are truly good tools for improved education, improved teacher retention, lowering costs.
Which really came out of a report a month or so ago showing that the gains expected were not necessarily what they were getting.
Yes, I was somewhat surprised by that, but that's what that report said. And you can read a lot of things about all subjects in different publications and see different things. And the other thing is the Senate is working on that framework for a teacher pay raise, a framework. I think we're working on the one that the House proposed, the 1-2-3. I cannot commit yet to saying that will actually happen, but I think it would be nice to get a framework in place. So
that one did pass out of a Senate committee, though.
Yes, it did, and it has not come to the floor yet.
Right.
But it did pass out of the Appropriations Committee, which all of us serve on. So that's kind of a update for me. What did I say? Something incorrect?
No, not at all.
All right,
it passed out of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, and all of you serve there. It seems like it would be
but
those assumptions don't always work in legislative bodies.
It is good to get two cracks at it, you know. Get to understand it. So I'll pass the mic back over to my colleagues in the House.
I'll throw something in real quick. Just know we have a few minutes. One of the assignments that I got regarding the budget, we each got agencies to look after in our subcommittees. And so this week I turned in a recommendation on the Oklahoma Commission for Children and Youth where some cuts were feasible in that organization. Now that's a very small part of the overall budget and very small part of the subcategory that I'm looking into, which is the human services subcategory. But nonetheless, we were able to at least recommend a cut, and it involves the suspension of a service that, of course, to those people, it's an important service. But I think that during this time in our state, we can suspend that. Maybe some private sector or nonprofit donors can pick up what is lacking there, and then allow us the flexibility we need as a state right now. So I was able to turn that into our budget chairman and receive that. And so it's a very, very good process that our budget chairman is getting all members involved in with our assignments. So,
okay. Representative Sears, I guess it's back to you.
Hey, I think I'll wrap it up. You know what? I'm going to use this opportunity, and I'm also going to make a comment tonight. First of all, the question is, are we on radio tonight as well?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's good. We do have a town hall meeting. The three of us are looking forward to it. It starts at 6:30 in City Hall, 6:30 to 7:30. And now it's going to be on the radio as well. There'll be people in the room. And
I don't remember which cable channel, but I know Cable One will also be.
Right, right. So, we hope encourage everybody to watch and listen to hear what's going on in your state government. And what little time I have left, I just want to make this quick comment. There was a letter to the editor when I came home last Thursday from our last town hall meeting out at the high school that a young lady, I don't know if she didn't hear what we said or she just didn't quite understand it. Senator Daniels and I were talking about this, so I'm going to take it that she just didn't quite understand it. But we answered the question. The letter said that we didn't answer it, and it was about gambling in the state of Oklahoma. And I just want to use very quickly to let our listeners know, start to write a letter to the editor, but here's the answer to the question, which we answered. All three of us did. First and foremost, the only correct thing in the letter was none of us support gambling, but that's not the point. It's the law, and we have lottery, and you have casinos.
It's legal behavior.
Now let's get it real clear here, and we'll answer. I'll answer this question again, and I want our listeners to know in responding to that letter. Of the gambling in the state of Oklahoma, the lottery is voted on by the people. Really never brought in the amount of money that everybody said it would bring into, but what it does bring in, it's never collected more than $69 million for education. Of that, it goes into percentages. 45% goes to education, 45% goes to higher ed, 5% goes to teacher retirement, 5% goes to consolidation fund. Public education always receives somewhere between $30-$33 million every year since it's begun. And it faithfully goes to public education. The other one, there's a casino money, has nothing to do with public education. We get about, of the gambling money, we get about $120 million. That's high right now, but it fluctuates. But it's about $120 million from gambling, goes into the general revenue. Now, of the general revenue, some of that money could end up in public education. But it's not tied to public education. But let there be no mistake, the only thing that really that frustrated me was that we didn't comment on. I want our listeners to know, all three of us are well aware, all the tribes that have gambling money, it's their money, we have no control over it, but every tribe that I know of gives back to their communities. They are very generous. They've been very great corporate citizens. I know in the Cherokee area, which we represent, the Cherokees do a phenomenal job, and we're giving money back to county government in roads and bridges. They have a phenomenal health care system. So I don't know understand where that came from.
And I believe I can say both the Cherokee and Osage, since we really are kind of on the line, target money for the schools that they represent as well.
You got it. So again, it's not so much that the nerve hit. It just, we couldn't understand. It kind of took us back because we answered that question. But I guess what took me back is that we kind of didn't brag on the tribes and what they give back. The tribes are doing a phenomenal job of giving back, okay? I just want to make that clear. Hope you'll join in tonight. We'll see you there. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Philip 66.
Thank you very much.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Philip 66 station.